Hello and welcome to the 8th episode of Xbox Mojo. My name is Thomas and this episode features guest Jean Clark from Xbox Era, and we originally recorded this in mid-January, but then Microsoft announced they were buying Activision Blizzard, Sony bought Bungie, and the future of Call of Duty was unclear. So there were always important daily news, which is why the release kept getting postponed. So don't be surprised why these topics are not discussed. So I'm glad John found time for us. Welcome, John, to Xbox Mojo.
Hello, allerseits. That's it. That's my only German. All right. That was me trying to say hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, Thomas.
Completely fine. So, it's great to have you here.
It's my pleasure.
How was your day?
It's been a fun day. So in an effort to be as efficient as possible, I had an Xbox Era kind of staff meeting just prior to jumping on the call with you. So I will apologize in advance. I've got a cup of tea here to help nurse my larynx back into shape. If I sound a little hoarse at times, it's just because I've been speaking for a good 2 hours before I jumped on. But it's been a good day. It's been a busy week at work because I have a job outside of my Xbox Era team. So there's lots of juggling off and going on. But I got my kids into bed on time, and I'm now here for the evening. So I'm all yours. What about you? Did you have a good day?
Well, I was quite nervous because of this recording.
No, nervous because of... I'm an easy listener, easy guest, I promise. I probably talk too much, if anything, so you'll have to tell me to shut up every now and then.
That's great, because, I'm the person who speaks in the different, in a not native language, so because of that, I was nervous. So because I have to speak English, and you you have no problem speaking English, I guess.
That's true. So. And it took me a good 2 minutes to really nail the pronunciation for hello allerseits. So and I probably still didn't do a very good job. So I applaud you for having two languages, to be honest.
Tell us a little about yourself and Xbox Era.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it if you're listening from Germany, I suppose, you may not have heard of us, right? We're a team of gamers across the world. I don't have a German member of the team yet, but obviously we're friends with everybody's favorite German Xbox guy outside of Thomas, of course, which would be Clobberl, or Toilet Seat, as I understand his gamer tag actually means, which cracked me up when I heard that one. Xbox Era, we started it back in 2019. I wanted to do a podcast. Special Nick, who is my co-host on the Xbox Era podcast, he had a Discord called Xbox Era, which was an offshoot of the Resetera forums. And it was kind of like a safe space because it wasn't particularly great discussing Xbox in the Xbox One generation on that particular website. He and I got talking. We combined our minds. He was quite happy to do a podcast. I think I pushed him a little bit to go big or go home. And XboxEra.com was born. And over the last 3 years, we've grown from a team of sort of just the podcast folks to news writers, review editors, video team, visual design production specialists. There's probably about 20 or so of us now, and it's all community driven. So everybody that's on our forums, we have a Patreon, everything that we gets funded back into what we make for the site. So it's been a hell of a journey and a massive kind of eye-opener for me in terms of how great the Xbox community can be. So it's kind of an honor to be a part of it, to be honest with you. I've never thought it would get to the point that it has. So it's super exciting. That's probably me in a nutshell. I'm also a video game nerd. I'm a dad. I've got two kids. I'm getting old, gray hair everywhere. I've shaved it off because of that. I've just got a bald head now for the most part, usually. Life is definitely catching up with me in my late 30s now. So I've got to get this video game thing under the belt before I get too old for it, as they say.
Your time management must be great.
I have. I am making it up as I go along, honestly. I am a terrible procrastinator who often thinks about a problem for a very long time before he takes action, which isn't a great way to work, I can assure you. But I somehow managed to pull it off. So I'll stick with what I'm doing until I burn and crash somehow.
Yeah, you have your regular job.
Yeah, regular 9 to 5.
And you have a family, a new house.
Yeah, yeah, that's been a pretty public source of discussion, I suppose, on our podcast over the last couple of years. Is I bought what we phrase in the UK as a fixer upper. So it's a house that hadn't been touched since the 1970s when it was built. And yeah, there's been a lot of time and effort to bring that up to spec for my young family and my partner. But it's there now and it's done, and I'm sitting in my nice home office that I finally got to build at the end of this last year. And yeah, it's definitely been a very stressful year to juggle all of that with COVID and lockdowns and working from home. It's been a definite trial. But I know that lots of people are feeling that way, right? You know, COVID has had an impact across everybody's lives in one way or another. I think we've all got a remarkable story to tell. Everyone's been through something difficult, and it's just nice to kind of be getting out the other side of it now, hopefully, as these months go on. Hopefully. I'm crossing my fingers.
And on Xbox Era, you're the editor-in-chief, right?
Yeah, I get to give myself a fancy title, right? I think that the general tone of it is that I get to kind of just have an overview on what our voice is, right? So we try not to lean into the stuff that a lot of modern publications nowadays do, which is, I want clicks, I care about ad revenue. We don't. Our community funds us. We do have ads to help bring it in and help fund what we build, but we do not do clickbait. And it's basically just to guide the team so that the tone that we're all working towards is one of positivity and inclusivity, and not just putting out negativity into the universe to try and make some money. And that's what a lot of publications have to do to survive. That's modern online business for you. Because we're funded by the community and we're built for the community, we get to walk a nice line. You know, none of us are doing this as I say, none of us are doing it as a full-time job. There's one of our team members is insane in terms of the amount of content he makes, because he's got a little bit more free time than most. Jesse is an absolute crazy person in terms of what he makes on the video team. But yeah, all of us, or the majority of us, have full-time jobs, have families. You know, this is a passion project in every sense of the word. So, but I think that's reflected in the kind of content that we produce. We have fun. We like to have fun with the community, and we try and bring a very positive tone. And my job title as editor-in-chief is just to make sure that tone and that message is put out in everything that we make and everything that we do. It's nice. It's a fun job. I wish I could do it.
Yeah. Oh, me too. How many hours do you put per week in Xbox Era?
Probably too many. My wife is definitely getting angrier as the months go by. And I'm like, don't worry, it'll be worth it. You know, we'll make it in the end. We'll drive the Ferrari out of here and, you know, we'll have a good time. a lot of my days, you know, I have my Monday to Friday sort of 8:30 till 5:30, 6 o'clock job. I work for a software company based out of the US. It's in a salesy type role. So there's a lot of pressure, a lot of targets that has to have my primary focus. I would say the majority of my evenings, and a lot of it is either writing or producing video content. I'll have some time at the weekends. The big frustration of doing this sort of thing as a passion project, especially if you love video games, is you start to get to a point where, unfortunately, you're writing or talking about video games more than you actually get to play them. So for any of those aspirational people out there that say, I want to do this, be wary. If you really love video games, you might want to just stick to the magic of playing them, because it's a difficult line to walk.
Yeah, that was the reason I quit back in the days, because I was a video game editor.
Oh, wow.
Well, 20 years ago.
but you only look at, you know, around 30-ish. So, you know, I'm trying to dish out the compliments now.
I worked for some publications, print magazines, and some online magazines. I visited some events.
They're not all there cracked up to be,
no.
Are they?
No. At first, you are thinking, yeah, wow, great. I went to the black and white premiere.
Oh, now we're going back. I love black and white. That was one of my favorite games when I was a kid. I absolutely loved it. You're looking. Is it there somewhere? Is the box sitting on your shelf?
I have the box, but I don't know where.
I'll take your word for it. But I'll tell you something fun about black and white, and I don't know if it did it in Germany or not. But the developers put in a bit of code in the original game that if you put your save game name in as your name, so in my example, John, and I remember when I was a young lad and I was playing it on my PC and I'm sitting there and then suddenly the game in the background, in the atmosphere audio that it was playing, like the atmosphere of the world, I just heard this voice go, John. And I was like, what the hell? And it happened again, and I really, really freaked me out. But obviously, it's this God game with God elements, and this was the spirits talking to me. But they actually picked up that my save game name was John, and they programmed in a bunch of audio files that say your name. And I thought that was so cool. I had to find out after the fact, but yeah, I love black and white. What a game. That must have been a fun event to go to.
My boss told me. So we were sitting on on the table, and there were all around us were the PCs to play black and white. And then my boss came to me and told me, "Well, Thomas, we meet him." And I said, "We will meet him in 5 minutes or so." He said, "Who? Who do you meet?" "Yeah, Peter."
"Oh, wow."
And I said, "Well, Peter Molyneux? I don't know. His last name is different."
"Yeah, Molyneux's correct."
I said, whoa, what?" And then I had my my first interview with him. So my first professional interview with Peter Molyneux.
That's a pretty cool claim to fame, right? Because Peter Molyneux is a big legendary industry icon. And I know he's come under fire in recent years for being a bit idealistic in terms of his claims about what his titles will do ever since the original Fable. But, you know, I've got to admire the passion, regardless of the... you know, perhaps the reality. I still got to admire the passion, and either way, he's made some incredible games over the years. So, what a cool privilege it must have been to kind of chat to him about that industry.
It was a professional interview, and after that, I asked him to sign my copy for Black and White, and to took a photo.
Awesome!
So I've got a photo with Peter and me.
That's awesome.
After that, I thought, yeah, well, I will go to every event. So it's so nice. And then I went to some more. I went to an Harry Potter event, Harry Potter games back in the day. And another one to meet Lewis Castle from Westwood, Westwood Studios.
Come on and conquer.
Yeah, and it was all nice. And you get... bought after some events.
I've been to a few now, and you know, I'm kind of sad that E3 is in the state it's in now because of the COVID-19 pandemic, because I think that's the one that everyone wanted to get off their bucket list, right? From a consumer facing point of view, events are horrible because you're rushing and you're standing in queues and all the disease and people touching pads, and then I think it's the networking element now that would most interest me, getting to meet some of the developers that we've had on our podcast and people within the community. That's the bit that I think I would really enjoy. Yeah. So I hope one day I still get to do that. I hope E3 isn't dead and it will come back, you know, in a couple of years' times, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. Because my last event, I didn't go to I had an invitation to an event, and I said no. And now I quite I think I should have got a go there, because it was in Paris. Well, I thought, no, Paris, the journey, the traveling. Oh no, I don't know. It was an event for PlayStation, for okay. Beyond Two Souls.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah,
Quantic Dream. Yeah. And I would have met Willem Dafoe.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean that would have been a good thing to get on the cool celebs you've met.
Right? But I was not in the mood to travel to Paris.
Sometimes, you know, I get like that as well. I'm very much a, you know, in some ways the COVID-19 thing has been really good for me, because I'm a very homebody kind of person. I like my creature comforts. I like the space that I've made here at home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an outdoorsy guy. I don't go for rambling walks or anything like that. I don't climb mountains. I'm a very sedentary person. And, you know, working from home has been kind of like a really nice blessing, because it's very comfortable. I can live in my dressing gown. I'm fine with this. But not everyone's built that way, right? Lots of people need that social engagement outdoors. They need the fresh air, et cetera, et cetera. And arguably, I probably do need that. And my wife certainly tries to make sure I go out at the weekends, at least, to get some fresh air and some sunlight, some real sunlight, and not the glow of a monitor on my skin.
I said last year that I will go to Gamescom next, as this year, if to meet some people, so to networking, as you said. So and E3 would be a bucket list thing, but E3 this year not gonna happen.
There's always next year.
Always next year, yeah.
For E3,
yeah.
Always next year, maybe. We'll find out.
So, but Nick had the great idea that Xbox Era will do an own E3.
he's very ambitious, is Nick. I don't know if we've got the clout of a Jeff Keighley to pull together our own funded E3, but I wouldn't put it past our team to put on a bloody good show if we ever got the opportunity to do so. So. Hey, you never know. Like, you know, we've got grand aspirations to be, you know, a really good central home and hub for this community. And I would never say never to doing something crazy like that. Like, who'd have thought a year ago that we would make a book? And yet we did, you know? So there's all these kind of crazy things that start off as these dreams, and then before you know it, they're reality, and then you're on to the next crazy dream. So it's definitely a journey.
Where did the idea for the book come from?
So the idea wasn't mine. I will not take credit. The idea actually belonged to one of the senior editors at Xbox Era, which is a chap named One Bad Mother, or Abe. I'm sure you've probably seen him on some other podcasts and watched some of his videos on our channel. I would recommend them out of all of them for anyone listening. If you go and check out the Xbox Game Pass, the Netflix of games video. It's about 18 minutes long, but it's a really deep dive into the trajectory and growth of Netflix from its growth in inception and comparing it to what Game Pass is doing and how Microsoft is investing. He's got a really good analytical eye for that kind of thing. But he came to the team, it would have been probably over a year ago now, and he said, oh, I've got this idea. It's Xbox 20th year anniversary next year. What about if we did a book? And then I latched onto it and I was like, yeah, okay, well, why don't we do 20 years of Xbox, the original Xbox, the 360, and the Xbox One, and now we'll lean into Xbox Series, we'll do it all in one book. And they looked at me like I was insane. I was like, that's a lot of work. Yeah. And they kind of talked me back down to planet Earth, and we settled with just doing the original Xbox. And then everything went very quiet for a while. We're really lucky in that we've got a professional visual designer as part of the team at Xbox Era, a gentleman named Predrag, and he suddenly popped up out of the blue probably now about 10 months ago with these preliminary pages of the book, and he said, hey, this is what I've come up with, what do you think? And then that's when things got serious and we were like, okay, maybe we can actually do this. And we settled on the original Xbox because that's where it all started for a lot of people. You know, I have lots of fond memories of LAM, you know, System Link Halo and with the big blocks and the Duke controllers and everything else with my younger brother. And lots of people have memories of that kind of that initial foray into the world of Xbox. And he put together the content for just all the games. So all 780, 90, something like that. Titles, every game ever released in all regions on the original Xbox in this visual timeline of from launch to end of life. And then we started pulling out the games we all really love, like, you know, so your Halo, your Ninja Gaiden Black, you know, the first Splinter Cell and Jet Set Radio Future and all these sorts of things, and giving them these cool double page spreads. And it kind of just grew from there. And then we were sort of thought about, should we self-publish via Amazon, which is where we'll make the whole book and then we'll just go to a print house and they'll just print it and we'll sell it. And then we were like, no, that doesn't feel like the right thing to do because the quality won't be great. We've got bigger pictures and bigger ideas. So we reached out to some of the people we've met over the years. So, you know, Jeff Grubb and some of the journalists, some of the YouTubers we've worked with like Rand and Colt. And we were like, what if we got together a big community push behind this where people that are in the community now get to talk about where they first started? So we came up with that and we got lots of really positive feedback. We did a presentation with Xbox to talk about what we were going to do and, you know, hey, can you give us access to assets? And they loved the idea. They couldn't help us too much because, as we know, they were working on their documentary. So they had to focus on their stuff. And the documentary is great. If you haven't watched it, give it a watch. And then we decided in the end we'd do this Kickstarter, which we were astounded by the response to it. We announced it on the day of the 20th anniversary. And anecdotally, I watched the premiere of this short, really cool, well-made teaser go live. And I have to admit, I was so stressed and so worried that people wouldn't like it or would hate it. I'd built so much of ourselves into it. When I saw the reaction online, I'm not ashamed to admit it, I had a little cry of relief because it was just like all of that pressure to make something good and to see the community just be like, oh my God, this looks incredible. It was really rewarding. And now here we are, it's funded. Now we've got to finish it. So there's a lot of work to do over the next sort of quarter of a year to get to that final product. And then we'll go send it off to print and start shipping it around the world. Very exciting stuff. So yeah, that's a long story about the book.
Yeah, nearly 600 backers of
something like that. Yeah,
not quite there, but yeah, over 500.
It came very close, and I think I heard anecdotally again from a lot of the Kickstarter community and people that have done books of this type that they were inspired by our project because Xbox, let's say it's the least loved out of, you know, your Nintendos and your PlayStations, right? And the 2013 Xbox One generation didn't do Microsoft any particular favors. You know, talk about burning all of your goodwill. The 360 gen was incredible. They soured it at the end with a Kinect device that the core gamer didn't like, and then they launched their next device in a terribly bad messaged way. And it was a rough generation for any Xbox fan. If that was your primary platform, you didn't probably have the best sort of 6-7 year cycle. And I think that's fair to say. Any Xbox fan that argues otherwise is probably not being honest with themselves. It was not particularly great. But we've seen the ship turn around. We've seen the dedication from the team at Xbox to kind of change it and run their own race. And, you know, they fixed their software, they fixed their hardware, and now they're making great games. 2021 was an incredible year. So lots to look forward to. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good.
This rough generation was one of the reasons you had the idea for Xbox Era or a podcast or something.
Yeah, you've done your homework, Thomas. I have to admit, you're definitely a listener.
Yeah.
You know, when we started and actually built our own forum, one of the primary reasons that Xbox wasn't a particularly, it wasn't easy to find places to speak about it and not have trolling and, you know, bad faith posting and bad interaction from everyone else. And, you know, the media to a degree, you know, without, I don't want to misspeak or misrepresent, but it is natural that the leading platform becomes the platform that everyone talks about. So it kind of became this, there's a phrase in Britain we use, which I probably shouldn't use, but it's the redheaded stepchild of the console world, right? So, and it became almost where you'd see these pundits that are meant to know about Xbox, knowing less than forum people that actually follow it and actually care. You know, great example, and one of the main reasons as well that I started Xbox Era was seeing Clobberl, aka Toilet Seat, and he's just, you know, he didn't shill, he just spoke only positively about what needed to change and what was succeeding for Microsoft. And he just shared his opinions and he shared great graphics and he had fun. And the community responded and rallied around him because there wasn't any other positive voices out there. Not really, you know, and it felt like a prime time. If I was honest, I wish I'd done it a year earlier and I'd be a year ahead of where I was, where we are now. But, you know, life is what it is. And you play the cards you dealt, right? I think we've come a long way in 3 years. And I think the platform now and the community around it now is stronger than it has ever been. And it feels like this generation is going to be the most interesting generation in console gaming in a long, long time.
For sure.
I can't wait to see the types of things we're going to get to play. I can't wait to see the next big game that we don't know exists yet. Like, there's always one every generation. There's always a game that blows everyone away. And, like, what is it going to be? We don't know yet. That's an exciting place to be.
For my German listeners, Klobrille is Klobrille.
Oh, okay. I'm pronouncing it wrong. So, Klobrille.
It's fine. It's basically okay. Oh, okay.
While I'm getting away with it.
Every English-speaking guy would say Klobrille or something like that.
Yeah,
I just want to know my that my audience
who the hell I'm talking about.
And so it's Klobrille, and this is a, well, it's a Xbox Insider or something.
I won't speak for him. He knows a lot about what Xbox is up to, and rightly so. And it's nice to see him. I don't know if you noticed, but he actually got to work with Xbox and do some official artwork and stuff like that recently. So. I really hope that that's opened up some doors for him as well, because, you know, he deserves it massively.
It's a fine, nice guy from Germany, and he was in the same forum, in the same German forum as I am. Yeah,
there you go.
It's but Console Wars forum. So
yeah, I know. All forums are Console Wars at the end
of
the day.
Yeah, but they put the name on it and they named it Console Wars.
Well, at least they don't have to shy away from moderating that one.
In this forum, he also has the nickname Klobrille or Klobrille. And after that, he got off the ground. And it's quite famous in a Twitter space, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's verified and everything.
It was just nice to hear some positives. Because I'm from Germany, and Germany is an PlayStation land.
Yes, it is. Yeah. A lot of Europe is.
The UK, not so much.
Yeah, well, I think Xbox, they weren't. It was PlayStation land here too, but they're doing well this generation so far. I think UK just tipped over 1 million series consoles now.
Okay.
So that's not bad.
Every media is talking about PlayStation here, PlayStation there. Then, and I had the same feeling as you. So, Xbox barely exists in the messaging.
Yeah.
I thought, well, why? And then I wanted to change it, and then I thought, yeah, well, old guy, it was just nice to play video games. Will you ever do content again? And then I thought, yeah, well, I don't know. And then I thought, yeah, maybe I should do a podcast, because a podcast is way easier than doing videos or doing articles or something. And but then I had no good name.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing a podcast since 2017. for Xbox. Because back then I started a Nintendo podcast because the Switch was launched.
Yeah, great console.
Yeah. I want a Switch Pro.
Yeah, fair comment.
Yeah, and then I thought, yeah, well, this Spencer guy is nice, and Game Pass is nice, and maybe I should do something with Xbox. And then I thought, well, I need a project name for my podcast, and I had no ideas, and so I talk every E3 in my Nintendo podcast about Xbox.
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, well, yeah, E3, Nintendo, great, but Xbox had also a nice E3. Yeah, and then I was thinking about, well, Red, you are talking a lot of Xbox in different podcasts, and maybe you should do an Xbox podcast. And then I saw, well, 2018 or 19, Xbox era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, 19 is when we launched. So
in the summer of 2019 or so?
Yep, July 2019 was when the site and the first episode of the podcast went public.
Yeah.
It all just snowballed from there. So we probably planned it. We were in talks probably about 3 or 4 months before we actually did it. And yeah, it's I love doing the podcast. Like, I look forward to it, but it's an every weekend thing. And Nick, my co-host, he prides himself on never missing an episode. And he regularly berates me for when I'm like, dude, it's Christmas Day. I can't do today. And he's like, oh, it's Christmas Day. I'm being glib, but he's super dedicated. But we've got a really good natural rapport. And considering we've never met, you know, he's in Australia, I'm in the UK, but we've got the right kind of chemistry to make, you know, at least we feel our podcast pretty successful. And Nick has got a lot of sources which have grown over the last couple of years because of where we're at. And I regularly find it amusing because we have a section on our podcast called The Rumor Mill. And the reason we call it The Rumor Mill is that we can't, as a publication, we cannot confidently source a lot of the rumors. Like, we can't write, we're not going to write an article about it and say, this is 100% happening. We know it. And here's how we're verifying it, because it's a rumor mill. And Nick's quite open about that, but it is a lot of fun. And what amazes me is how often he is right. and I think it annoys a lot of other naysayers when he is, because he often gets a lot of stuff about PlayStation, which is hilarious on an Xbox podcast. But there you go. We talk about games. You know, that's what we love. So no problems from my perspective.
There's a rumor.
Yeah, we've got a new. Yeah. Have you heard the new theme tune? Did you listen?
Yeah,
to the
last Saturday.
I know it's not as catchy.
It's not catchy
because it's not a classic Donna Summer song. But we kept getting copyright hit for using that small 8 second clip, so it's not worth the risk. So we thought we'd err on the side of caution.
Yeah, and you're speaking in a deep voice about. Who bought Microsoft?
Xbox bought who?
Yeah, Xbox bought who? Yeah.
Just being silly. It's fun to be silly every now and then.
Yeah. Before your podcast, there was the Xbox era thread in Reset Era.
The safe haven of Xbox discussion on Reset Era, yeah.
Yeah, and sure. this was basically my only thread I was looking into.
You and lots of other Xbox fans. It was the one place that was very insular, and you know, you could avoid a lot of the trolls because it was just hidden away in the community section of the forum. And it's still a good little thread to go and visit as well.
Yeah. And so I followed your journey. First this thread, then your podcast. Then your podcast was monthly or bi-monthly? I don't know.
It was every two weeks.
And
it was always pre-recorded. It was never live. And then as we grew, the community were like, no, do it live. And I think the first day, we're episode 100. We're on episode 92 this weekend. Episode 100 in March. But on episode 50, we did our first live show. And now following a great response from the community, we pivoted to do pre-recorded and then live, alternating every week. And now we're just live. We're just always live because we found that our community shows up in the hundreds and has a good time in the chat and asks us questions, and the interaction is great. And it's made the podcast even more lively and fun because there's lots of then jokes, and we see these clips coming at us from Twitter of silly things where we make bad jokes. And it's honestly, it's wonderful. And I'm going to see if the community is up for it, but for episode 100, I want to see if we can get like a little montage of the last 100 episodes the Xbox Era podcast. Just put into video form, just like a celebratory, like, look at all this crazy content and the website going live that we've built. Like, how crazy is this journey? Because it's a real special journey for me. So
yeah, and I really liked your podcast, and came the website, and last now 2 years ago the forum. Is it 2 years ago?
It feels like it's 2 years ago. I think you're about right. I don't think it's quite 2 years yet. I think it'll be 2 years very soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, the forum again was, we've got this Discord, right? And this Discord is very small, purposefully so. And that's not because we don't want our community in there, but it's because if the community's all in there, conversation becomes difficult. I don't know if you've ever been in a big Discord, but it's actually very difficult to keep track of anything. And there's only about 160 people in this little Discord called Xbox Era. But of those 160 people, there's a lot of industry folk from Xbox, from other publishers, developers of games. And we would prefer not to subject them to the masses and let them be able to actually have discussions with everybody without being a celebrity. You know, like the people in there keep it. So it's very rare for the public to get into this Discord. But we also knew that we wanted to provide a home for the community that wasn't on another website or something that required lots of management, and Discords require a lot of moderation. So we went with a forum to bring the community together. And it's our goal to be the best Xbox focused forum out there. And that's not to say you can't come and talk about PlayStation or Nintendo. There are OTs for that. But what you can be guaranteed is that after years of seeing bad moderation when it comes to talking and trolling and bad faith posts about the platform, that we won't allow it for either side. And we've got a very, very cool moderation system in that we have what's called a flag system. And I'm sure you've been on enough forums, and I'm sure the listeners here have probably been on some gaming forums in their time. Someone comes in, makes a terrible post, everyone reacts to it, quotes it to death, the dog pile begins, and before you know it, you've got four pages of absolute tripe that is just pointless. It's just circular arguments and silly behavior. The flag system for us, and it depends upon your trust level. So if you're a very trusted member that's been there for a long time and has good standing, if it's flagged more than once by a member of the community, it is automatically hidden from anyone going into view the thread. So straight away, you can't quote it, you can't react to it, you can't respond it. It kills the troll in his tracks, and it flags it to the moderation team for review so that we can say, is this a troll or are people just being sensitive? You know, and that's the line we have to walk. And we're not perfect. And funnily enough, that's been a big subject of conversation in the meeting I had prior to jumping on the call with you, is we don't feel we're doing a good enough job, and we're working on coming up with what we would like to call what was the phrase the guys used? And it was a running joke throughout the entire call, an SOP, a standard operating procedure. How does the mod team react? What's the appropriate moderation action to take? Who does it? How do we do it? Is it by consensus? Da 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 da. But we're going to share that with the community over the coming weeks and say, is this fair to you? Do you agree, community, with how we want to manage this community? Because it can't be a us versus them. It can't be like this, you know, I have a joke. My tag in the forum is benevolent dictator, right? And I do have this kind of jokey personality where I kind of say like, hey, this isn't a democracy, right? It's our forum. This isn't a freedom of speech platform, similar to Phil's words earlier this week on the New York Times podcast. And that's not what gaming's about. I'm not there to hear your political views. You don't have a right to say whatever you want because it's our forum. But it is a home for the community, and we want to work with the community to make it the best place it can be. And that's across the board. Like, the forum is English speaking, as an example, but the site itself, we actually invested in automatic translation technology. So you can, if you visit Xbox Era, you'll see a little language button at the bottom, and you can switch to German or Brazilian or Portuguese or all of these different languages. And it's not always perfect, but if you prefer to read in German, you can. At least that's the plan. We do have a plan to revisit it, see how often it's used. But we wanted, again, to bring that inclusive nature because, you know, as you know, you're running a German podcast, right? But here's your English-speaking guest. And how do you straddle those two worlds? And we thought about that. There's plenty of people out there that don't want to go visit an English website. But games are predominantly made in English and spoken about in English. So how can we accommodate for all these different people? And that was one of the things that we tried to put in place to bring everybody together. And I realized that was a very long answer to a very short question. But there you go.
It's fine. And I visited your site now, and I, for the first time, I see this button. because English is fine for me. Now I will read every... or at least a few articles in German, and I will tell you if this is okay.
Yeah.
Xbox Era is some kind of role model for me, because I saw your website, I saw your podcast, and then I was sitting in my room and I was thinking about, well, maybe you should do a podcast too. Maybe, yeah. But you need a name, and I think... with Xbox, it's not the best. And it's not the best term to make a good name. So,
yep, I agree with you on that.
Xbox Era is just because reset era.
Yes and no. There's more to that that I probably won't mention publicly. But yes, certainly, you know, we called ourselves Xbox Era because that's what we were so used to calling ourselves. I've got nothing against the Reset Era team. I don't think they were overly happy with the choice of name. But unfortunately, if I want to be pedantic about it, their naming language is a play on the word etc. Even to the point where their off topic forum is called etc. because it's everything else, right? That's what etc. means. So really it's not Reset Era, it's Reset Era.
So I said it's wrong.
Well, I would call it Reset Era as well because they have the capital E, but
yeah,
I think the original owner of the site that sold Reset Era even said it's pronounced Reset Era on video once. So it's his word, but that's what they're registered as. But when we came to it, we were like, Xbox Era, you know, era, a passage of time. This is a new era for Xbox now with Phil at the helm. It felt like the right name. In hindsight, if I could change it now or if I could pick a different name, I would. But honestly, it feels good to say. It rolls off the tongue. Yes, we have to put up with the occasional, oh, you're just an offshoot of Reset Era.
Yeah,
no, we're not. You know, just like Silicon Era isn't an offshoot of Reset Era. They were there before Reset Era, but no one confuses the two. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it's fine. I mean, I like the name. I love the logo. I don't see it changing anytime soon.
I love your podcast logo. That's great.
Pre-drag. He's a legend. He's a legend. Absolutely love his work.
And I was searching for a name for months, basically years. And at one day, it was before the XO19 event. I was thinking, you should do a podcast now, for God's sake.
Absolutely, Thomas, you should.
Yeah, and then I have no name. And then you said Xbox Era because there's a new era for Xbox. And I was on the other side. I thought Xbox lost its mojo. And I want to be part of the journey, how Xbox gets its mojo back.
That's a great fact. Yeah, because they have. I was going to say, have you been watching Austin Powers or something? Yeah. He talks about, I've lost me mojo, you know, but yeah, they had lost their mojo, right? I completely agree. And since I guess that great E3 where, I guess since the Xbox One X was announced, you know, the 4K, first 4K console, and it legitimately did start making games in 4K. And then we saw the great E3 next, where they announced like 5 acquisitions and a new studio. The momentum started to build, right? And, you know, now we're in a world where Microsoft have 23 first-party studios. They had a great 2021. There's more good stuff to come out this year. They've bought Bethesda. I mean, it's insane. If you'd have asked me after the launch of the Xbox One in 2013, 2014, when it was really bad,
yeah,
I wouldn't have thought that this would be the end result. And you know, as we watched in that Power On documentary, and we've heard Phil talk about with the conversations we've had with Satya Nadella, why are we in the console business? Why should we be? And, oh, yeah, why should we be? And I'm so glad that they made the decisions they made and they've come out with what they've come out with, because it would be a lesser market if they weren't in it, because they've pushed so many innovations. The Xbox console, the first one, was incredible for some of the first it did. You know, the first console that said, yeah, broadband's going to be a thing. I know Dreamcast did dial up, but they put an Ethernet adapter and said, yep, broadband's going to be a thing. Hard drives are going to be a thing. And, you know, where would we be if those decisions weren't made, if those bets weren't made early on? I'm very glad that they did, and it's going to be fun to cover them over this decade and see what they get up to.
Oh yeah, it's a quite interesting story. Back in the day, 20 years ago, I made the first German Xbox website because I thought, well, it's interesting that there will be a new challenger, and this challenger is Microsoft, and I thought, wow, that could be amazing. I really liked the first Xbox with the games. I followed the journey since then. Well, Xbox 360, I was at university, so I played less games. Yeah, and my comeback as an Xbox person was the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So, it was a rough ride. And now we're here. And and I'm really looking forward to the years to come.
It's going to be a very nice ride. I mean, what was your favorite game that you played in 2021 from Microsoft first party? Because there were a lot.
Microsoft Game Studios.
Just generally, what's been your favorite game that you played this year? I realize that's put you on the spot. There's a lot of games, right?
So. I would say Returnal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people really like that on the PS5. Yeah.
I played nearly 100 hours.
Wow.
Because I tried to platinum it. It took me. So the gameplay, the atmosphere, sci-fi, it took me. And I'm not a Dark Souls person or something. And I don't like roguelikes. Xbox wise, I voted for Halo Infinite.
It's a fine choice.
Yeah, I nearly voted for Psychonauts 2.
Also a great choice.
The art style, Tim Burton like.
Yeah.
The writing is great.
The writing is really good as well.
And there are set topics and they are well handled.
Yeah. Very much so.
So I really appreciate it. And I had so much fun. But at the end, it was Halo Infinite because of the whole package. I played 30 or 40 hours in the first weeks. So multiplayer.
Yeah.
3 or 4 weeks later, the campaign was released, and I liked the open world because I played it like Breath of the Wild. So I get my grapple hook and tried to go to the next mountain to find some secrets.
Yeah, it's just fun to move around.
Halo Infinite was a whole package for me. So single player and multiplayer.
Good choice. I liked Halo Infinite a lot. I think they've got a lot of work to do to fix some of the multiplayer bugs. The more I've played, the more I have to start to nitpick, I suppose, a little bit, and some of the server issues that they've got going on with latency, tick rate, and things like that. But when it works, when it's perfect, it is really good. It's probably the best Halo has played in a long, long, long time. And coupled with a very strong campaign, I think there's definitely been some bits that have been trimmed, but it's still really fun to play through, and I've had a blast with it. I'm looking forward to co-op launching in spring at some point, and playing that with friends, because doing that in a legendary all skulls on run will be great fun.
I missed the last skull.
Ah, bummer.
Yeah, and you can't replay a story mission not at yet. The moment. And
Never mind.
Yeah.
You just wait for the co-op and you can have an excuse to go back in and and remember that one.
Yeah. They nailed the gameplay.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm not the biggest multiplayer guy, but I love Halo, the multiplayer. I'm not too bad. So, to my surprise, I'm not too bad. So, nearly the top third or something.
Nice.
So, in the matches, and I was thinking, wow. Great. That never happens at Call of Duty or Battlefield for me.
Well, I think it's a lot simpler. And because of the shield mechanic, there's time to react sometimes to what happens. And that's, you get those kind of cool moments where you do react and you pull it off and then you're like a hero. It's one of the reasons I love it so much. I mean, I did a lot more Forge in Halo 5 and my skills were a bit rusty. I'm Diamond 2. I think in Halo Infinite at the moment. I'm getting berated by my longtime Halo partners as not being Onyx because they've just ticked into it, but they've played a lot more than me now.
Yeah.
They've played like double the amount of games I have. So I need to dedicate a good few evenings to getting back into the groove and getting my skills up a little bit to get to that Onyx level, but I'm not there yet, sadly.
Yeah, you have some long-lasting Halo friendships.
Yeah, oh god, yeah. Yeah, I mean I'm very lucky in the friendship group that I have. Back in the Halo 2 days on Bungie.net, if you remember playing Halo 2 online, it wasn't the best experience in the world. Lots of glitching and cheating and, you know, unplugging routers and standbying and all of that stuff. And we had a Bungie forum group called the War Walkers, and then there was one called Halo 2 UK, and eventually they all got merged into this group of gamers called OMG, Online Multiplayer Gaming. And after playing Halo 2 online for a couple of years, I think it was like 2005, maybe 2006, I was like, hey, I own a flat now. You know, how old would I have been in 2006? I would be 21, 22 years old. It's a long time ago now. It's nearly 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, we get to know each other pretty well. We're wearing all these headsets. How would people feel if I had a LAN party? And my gamer tag is Sicka Mechanico. So we called it Sick Fest, which is kind of gross. I just invited 7 strangers, I put that in air quotes, but people I'd never met in real life, round to my house. My girlfriend at the time put up with it and supported it. And before you know it, LAN parties became almost a quarterly event. And we've got a core group of, you know, I don't know, 15, I'd say 20, 25 of us now with all of the wives. And there's been new wives and lost wives and lost lives, and people have died, and we've had, you know, new births and kids and everything over 20 years.
Yeah. But
the core of that friendship was playing on Xbox. And there were people from all walks of life. You know, you had people from up and down the breadth of the UK and Scotland. You had people that were 20 years young in just coming out of uni. You had people that were 45 and were nurses in hospitals or police officers, all meeting together in different age groups playing Halo. And there is nothing that beats that memory for me, and the many memories and friendships that have been born at that. You know, we've flown around the world for weddings, all through this friendship group. And that is one of the primary reasons that I love Xbox as much as I do, because they have given me, through the avenue of playing games online with friends, so much joy and good friendships and people that I trust implicitly over the years. My best friend of all time, he's like my brother. Indeed, he, when he comes to work down my neck of the woods, he stays with my parents. That's how much of a part of the family is. He was best man at my wedding. I met him playing Halo. So go figure. You never know where you're going to meet people nowadays.
It's amazing. Wow. Yeah, and you had a LAN party at the Halo Infinite launch.
Yeah. We went round his house, funnily enough, because I've got two kids now, and my wife does not like my video game habits at all. And the fact that Xbox era is as intrusive into life as it is does not gel well with her, bless her. So this year it was like, yeah, let's do the Halo LAN at yours. And it was really nice to not have kids and just be able to, you know, sleep in Cheeto dust and play video games for 18 hours of the day. It was good. It was a fun time.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I should have played more multiplayer. So
it was good fun.
One topic I have in my mind about Xbox era. How do you verify the quality of a source of information?
There's a number of ways of doing that.
Maybe you know. Then you had trouble with one article.
I did. It's a long, painful learned lesson for me. So I have to realize now, and this is what I mean about the tone of the site, right?
I'm
not always going to get things right. I'm only human, you know, and this is a learning experience for me, just helping run this thing. But it comes from a place of good intentions. But when we first started, there was a point where we thought we'd found this scoop and we'd seen that there were rumors of Bungie being bought. And, you know, before we discovered what we discovered, and we saw these changes made from a company kind of standpoint in where someone gets appointed. And we very much a case of 2 + 2 = 5. And if it was a forum post or anything like that, and you know, and we just typed it up and put it on a forum, you wouldn't think anything of it. It's just people theorizing. What I didn't take into account that is by publishing it as Xbox era, we're forcing that out into the, you know, into the stratosphere, and it went viral, and it forced the CEO of Bungie to come out and go, nope, we're not getting bought. And it was very, very painful and awkward, and we felt awful. And even though we worded it and we're like, hey, you know, like, look, the rumor already exists. We've seen this. All the other acquisitions had this activity happen as well.
Yeah.
It made sense, right? But it wasn't the right thing to do. And we updated the article and we apologized for the error. We didn't delete it. We didn't shy away from it. But it was on me. That was my call to make, and it was the wrong call. So when we verify things, if we get a scoop, you know, if it's a source-driven scoop, we would normally ask for evidence of authenticity.
Yeah. Right?
And there's a number of ways you can do that. You can, you know, if someone on a forum claims they know something as a moderator, how do you know that? Show me how you know that, and you have my assurances as Xbox era that we won't share that information publicly, but we need to either, you know, because otherwise anyone could just make anything up.
Yeah.
So we go through that kind of process. And, you know, Nick, in order to check a lot of things, I won't speak for him, but I know he kind of, when he first started getting different sources and different people, he's got more than one, he would sit on some stories a little while and see if they came true. And then the more of those that happened, you know, the more, okay, this person seems to be on the level, because sometimes it is just a case of this is what I've heard, which is why we call it the rumor mill. So there's a big difference between publishing a story and saying this is happening versus a conversational, hey, this is the rumor I've heard.
Yeah.
Because it's just a rumor. And that's why we try and make that distinction. We find it very amusing that other websites don't make that distinction at all. And we regularly see ourselves in other publications as, here's this latest rumor, and get all their clicks and stuff. We could do that too, but we're not going to, because that's we're trying to draw that line, right? This is a podcast is primarily entertainment. It's there to have fun. And it's fun to talk about rumors. That's why those things get so many clicks, and that's why we've got that kind of section. But we do try and make sure that what we're talking about is, yeah, this is what we understand is true. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun one. But, yeah, definitely some lessons learned.
Yeah. I was just asking because you started as a podcaster, and after you published articles, you're not a journalist, but it's – a mix between something like a journalist, because you put articles out and and then I was thinking about because this Bungie thing happened. How do you manage your source of information and the quality of it and so? But I still don't know why there was such a breakdown because of this Bungie thing. Because I read other articles, and there was no such a breakdown.
No, I know.
You were blocked by some famous Twitter guys and so.
I have been blocked personally.
Are you not Xbox Era?
Yeah, not Xbox Era. I have been blocked personally, and it's because we were getting. To be fair to this person, and let's not name them.
I honestly
don't want to relive it to a degree, but they called out the publication and dragged us publicly to millions of followers, and that was the biggest pain point for me. You know, I'm sitting there. I said yes to this. I pushed this out. I'm now reaping the punishment of that. Thankfully, he deleted that because one of the other team members from the Netherlands, who's clearly got a nicer way with words than I do, was like, hey, whoa, that's not fair. Come on now. And yeah, it was deleted. But that was scary. And I've got a screen grab of that particular tweet. And I use it in publications when we talk, when we do our yearly reviews and things like that. We often like use that as a, let's make sure we get this right. Let's make sure we are clear, we're concise, we say what we mean what we say. It's really important to me. So, I mean, if there's one way to learn a lesson, that getting it wrong is one hell of a way to never make that mistake again. So, yeah, for sure.
I want to finish on a high note because the last few minutes were kind of a downer or something like that.
I did tell you I was chatty, so, you know. Don't hold it against him, folks, for making you listen longer. It's all purely the British dude's fault. It's my bad. I'm a very conversational chap.
Well, I could go on forever.
often, as I find as well.
Yeah, so maybe next time I will go to another, about another more questions, because I'm very interested in how you managed your Xbox era and how on your learnings and all of it and the next project. So, yeah.
Well, there's lots of stuff coming down the pipe. I look forward to showing about it, and you'll see them when they land. It's going to be a busy first quarter for the team.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little hint. Honestly, I think it's going to surprise everybody what we're going to do. Beyond the book, beyond just the site and day-to-day stuff, this is something new. Hopefully it will raise a few eyebrows, make a few people smile, make a few people go, yep, this is cool. And we'll see where it goes. You never know. We've got big ideas, big plans. It's fun.
I'm glad for Nick that he will do his PlayStation era podcast.
Oh God, he loves it too much. That man, he loves the fame. Yeah, I don't know. Nintendo podcast, PlayStation podcast. He'll do all of them if he could. He won't be doing them with me. I'm out of room in terms of additional curricular activities now. I've got enough on my plate.
Because you are also a forerunner at Halo Infinite, so it's not just Xbox era. So as a hobby, you are a forerunner. Was it Forerunner? Yeah.
Forerunners were the team that actually got to help with the campaign. So close. I was very lucky to be a member of the, or invited to be a member of the Forge Council.
Oh, Forge Council. Sorry.
No. It's quite all right. They're very similar sounding. Forge Runner, Forerunner, you know, it's close enough. But nutshell, I spent a lot of time in Halo 5 building levels. And indeed, if there are any German Halo fans playing, I've been a long time fan of Forge, and with a friend of mine, a guy called King Bartlett, he and I made the first ever map to make it into public matchmaking from Forge back in Halo 3 in 2008, I think it would have been, which was Bart's Manor, or Infected Manor, which was the house map in the Infection playlist in Halo 3 back in the day. That was the first ever Forge map into public matchmaking, and that's me. That's my claim to fame from Forge. But I got to work over the years, particularly around Halo 5, with 343 on a lot of matchmaking projects, doing stuff for competitions, I won this giant life-size needler in one of the competitions during Halo 5, which was really cool, along with a Nerf spiker and stuff like that. But yeah, in Christmas of 2019, I got a little DM on Discord in the early hours of the morning from Unishek, who's the community manager at 343. And it was like, hey, John, how you doing? I want to talk about Halo with you, but I need to sign this NDA first. And I was like, what? I never woke up so fast. I woke up to that text. I was like, what? And they flew me out there with a bunch of other prominent Forge people in 2020. We got to go see some cool stuff. I can't talk too much about it, I'm afraid. I can acknowledge I was on that thing because I'm in the credits for a Halo game, which is like, who'd have thought that would happen 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been working on Forge with the development team. And I look forward to being able to talk about it in detail at some point in the future.
Yeah.
But suffice to say, it was a very, very cool couple of 3 days. Got to go visit the team, play in the studio, play in the test labs, test out some multiplayer before the rest of the world, and do the Halo Museum, which was really like, that's a Halo nerd's dream in there. So yeah, there's a video on the Xbox Era YouTube channel where I kind of finally got to admit the truth because I was under an NDA, I couldn't tell my team.
Yeah.
So we have our own Halo podcast and they were for months asking, why aren't you been on yet? The timing's just not right. And it's basically because I just didn't want to go on and lie. And it was really nice to be released from having to lie. So it was good. It was a really, really good moment. But yeah, absolute privilege.
You had me at Halo.
You had me at Halo, yeah. Big Jerry Maguire fan.
Yeah, I saw this video and I was really lucky for you. It must be a dream come true.
It is a little bit. It's a lot of responsibility because I want Forge to be incredible. So, you know, I guess the one thing that we were told is, you know, make it clear to people, I don't get to make decisions. I get to provide feedback. So don't blame me if it isn't everything you aspire it to be, whenever it appears. But, it's been a journey. It's been difficult managing that as well. I've managed. I wish I could say more about it next time. You know, next time when it's out, maybe we can come on, we'll talk a little bit more about it, but it's been really cool.
Yeah, it's okay. So, and the museum in the studio or, so it's not a public one. So
it's kind of like you go into the main doors and it's straight to the left and it's basically a big, must be 150 square feet, something like that,
yeah,
of just Halo stuff, like big statues and Lego sets and cool big life-size guns and props from the film and the short movies and all sorts of things. Everything you could possibly imagine is crammed into this room in display cabinets and on shelves. And we got to pick up a bunch of like prop ARs and BRs and swords. And yeah, it was really, really cool. And I wish I'd taken more pictures, but I was so like,
yeah.
You know, like wandering around, like I just didn't.
There was not so many pictures in your videos.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that footage, you know, I reached out to the rest of the Forge Council and was like, hey guys, did anyone get any footage and can I steal it, please? So they sent me a few bits and pieces, but yeah, I didn't get as much as I wish I'd got, but never mind. It can't be helped sometimes. It's better to remember it than constantly be viewing life through a camera anyway.
Yeah. And you got lucky with lockdown.
The first death of COVID-19 was in Washington State in the US, which is where I was. And the flight back was surprisingly empty. It was the first time I got bumped up to like premium, like business class kind of thing. So I had a whole row of seats and I got to flip up all the armrests and just lay. It was really nice, actually. The flight back was great. Loved it. Empty plane. Nice.
Yeah. And you met some developers.
Met a lot of developers. I mean, I've done launch events, or I did launch events, participated in them for Master Chief Collection. I did a bunch of YouTube adverts for Microsoft talking about how I met my friends playing Halo and stuff like that. I won't tell you where to find them. They're on the internet somewhere. I think they made me do a grunt impression at some point. And then I did a similar launch event for Halo 5. And what's funny about that is one of the YouTubers or streaming people that was meant to come on and participate in this online on-stage tournament for the launch event was missed their plane or something like that. And I'd got to invite some friends to come. And my best mate was there and he'd just finished work. And he's a Sparky by trade. So he's wearing these like combat trousers full of all pockets. He's covered in plaster dust. And he's got dreadlocks down to his back. And they came to me. I was like, have you got someone that you know locally that could come and just help? And I was like, yeah. So I ring my mate and he's like, I'm at work. What's up? I was like, do you want to come play Halo for the first time live on stage in front of millions of people on this stream? And he was like, yeah, all right, I'll be there about half hour. And he rocks up covered in crap, comes out on stage. And the video is still online somewhere, but he was just like, what am I doing? It was very funny. But yeah, I got to do kind of cool stuff like that. So I've met a lot of the developers over the time. And the one thing I will say, and I appreciate it's getting late for you, so I probably need to shut up, is 343 had a real hard time with COVID, as all development studios have. And I know that there's very little patience out there for gamers. They want games perfect. They want them right now. But a lot of people give them crap. They take, you know, they're mean to them online. I know from experience and from personal interaction, every single person that I have interacted with at 343 across any, you know, profession, developer, designer, community person, they all absolutely love the franchise. They want to make the best game they can and they care about the community. So if you are one of those people that wants to give them a hard time, I get having criticism, but just bear in mind the human being at the other end of it loves Halo as much as you do. And that's what I would say. I really feel sorry for those guys when they cop a load of crap like that online. It's not fair because they're just doing the best they can. They can't control the world. So yeah, but it was hell of a journey, hell of a privilege. Can't wait to talk about Forge more when I'm allowed to at some point soon.
So this will be another topic on another episode, I think.
Hey, it means I get to come back, right?
So. Yeah. For Hop Forge and maybe for Xbox Era 2.0 or I don't know.
3.0. I don't know.
I don't know. And for the PlayStation podcast. And Nick, I will get Nick for his PlayStation podcast.
He'd love it. He's more talkative than me. So you'd be, you know, prepare yourself for like a 2+ hour episode.
So, thank you. It was a lovely first English episode for me. I really appreciate it and I could go on forever.
It's been a pleasure and I really, really appreciate you inviting me on. And I hope that both the English audience grows for you and that the German audience doesn't find this annoying Brit too annoying. I've been an absolute blast and I look forward to coming on again soon.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye. I will do this spy thing.
I think you should leave that in. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye. So silly.